as Diane said, my name is Lauren Eibach, and it's a privilege to be with you today to share a bit of my faith story and how God has been working in my life through the creative gifts he's given me. So if you've been at Westwood for a while, you might recognize me. If I'm remembering correctly, I sang on the worship team from 2014 to 2018. I started working here as an intern, which led to a part-time job in the worship department, and I called Westwood my church home for a total of 5 years. I'll get into more of those details in just a bit, but now my husband Luke, who's standing in the back, he loves being the center of attention. He really doesn't. Total opposite. Okay, but anyway, so now Luke and I are part of Grace Church, and we worship at the Chaska campus, which meets at Southwest Christian High School. And God has called me to serve as a small group leader in women's ministry at the Eden Prairie campus with one of my oldest friends and mentors. Plus, I just started getting involved a little on the worship team at Chaska as well. Luke and I have been married for 5 years and have been living in Chaska that entire time. He works from home as a software developer, and our black cat, Layla, and I love having him around, but things have been feeling pretty cozy with both of us working in our apartment full-time for the past couple of years. So we began 2022 looking at houses, but we're still waiting on God's timing in that. So as we look ahead to the future, we really can't help but look back in awe of God's faithfulness over the past several years. In fact, it was 10 years ago, almost to the day, that I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. For most of my life, I believed in God, but I was not following him, and I had no idea that there was really even a difference. Growing up, I attended a small church in Northeast Minneapolis, and it was there that I learned that Jesus died on a cross and rose from the dead to save sinners. However, I didn't understand how that truth really applied to us or to myself personally. I understood church to be a moral obligation, and I mostly viewed God as an intimidating, holy, impersonal judge. My ideas of salvation were works-based. I thought if I followed the Ten Commandments well enough, I would be accepted into heaven. And I remember wondering, could I ever be sure I would go there? I attended church camp most years growing up, and the summer going into my senior year of high school, I had a profoundly impactful experience there. As I reflected on that week, I thought to myself, I feel like God wants us to feel close to him all the time, not just 1 week out of the year. That thought impacted my prayers in a positive way, but not really my lifestyle or even my beliefs about God. I prayed before bed many nights that God would show me what it looked like to be close to him. I wanted that, but I had no idea how to experience that or if it was really even possible. By the time I left for college, those prayers were prayed to a God I seriously doubted even existed. I was a Christian by name, but not at heart, which really isn't a true Christian at all. Aside from having some strong morals based on God's commands, I followed my own path and my own understanding. As I drifted from God, I became more self-focused and sought after the attention and acceptance of others. On the surface, it probably looked like I had it all together. I began writing, performing, and recording music in the latter half of my high school career and chose to pursue a music degree in college. But songwriting was my outlet for anger, and I hurt several people because of the songs that I wrote. By the spring of my freshman year of college, I realized I was on a self-destructive path I didn't know how to get off of. I was growing increasingly bitter unhappy, and fearful about my future. When I was home for spring break that year, I was invited by a couple of high school friends to get ice cream at McDonald's. They had already been there for a little bit by the time I showed up, so when I arrived, they were already in mid-conversation. I felt extremely uncomfortable because instead of gossiping and talking about boys like I had expected, they were talking about Bible studies they were involved in. I had never heard my friends talk about these things before, so I felt very awkward because I had absolutely nothing to contribute to the conversation. But they eventually asked me how I was doing, and I started opening up about how unhappy I was, and I shared about some of the mistakes that I had made. I feared, and in many ways I didn't like, the person that I was becoming. And that's when my friends told me that I needed Jesus. They encouraged me to start a prayer journal. They told me that if I confessed my sins and the idols in my life and committed my life to Him, He would forgive me for all the things I so deeply regretted. He had the power to change the direction of my life and set me on a new path. They made it clear that Jesus was able to redeem it all and fill me with joy. In that moment, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the significance of Christ's death and resurrection made sense. We are all born sinners in need of forgiveness, and no amount of works can erase our guilt before God. The Bible teaches in Hebrews 9:22 that there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10 say that the righteous and just penalty for sin is hell. But the gospel is the good news that out of His great love for unworthy sinners, Jesus Christ, both fully God and fully man, died on a cross and rose from the dead to pay the penalty for our sins. Jesus said in Mark 1:15, in order to be forgiven, we must repent and believe. By His grace, we are able to receive Him as Lord and Savior. And the Apostle Peter tells us that those who are saved are born again. Throughout Scripture, we learn that believers are new creations and given many gifts, including eternal life, assurance of salvation, and we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts permanently. Can you think of a specific moment or season that you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, how has your life changed since then? If not, why might that be? Are you sure you've put your faith in Christ? Again, Jesus says in Mark 1:15 that we must repent and believe in the gospel. True belief means we trust in His death and resurrection. When our faith is sincere, we believe that Jesus is God and that He alone forgives sin. We love Him and trust that He loves us. To repent is to acknowledge that you are a sinner and that no works of your own can save you. It means turning from your sin and allowing God to change the way you think and act. It means submitting to Christ's lordship over your life and trusting that His ways are better than your own. Have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior through repentant faith? So after meeting with my friends, I went out and I bought a prayer journal. I began to pray to Jesus and spent the rest of my spring break writing a letter to Him, confessing my sins and all the things I was putting before Him. I expressed my desire to live for Him and my belief that He would forgive me and change my life. Soon after that, I started reading the Bible. And for the first time in my life, its words made sense. As I read, I began to understand what had happened to me. By God's grace alone, I was led to repentance, to put my faith in Jesus and receive his gift of salvation. I was born again and had the Holy Spirit dwelling in my heart. I now not only knew about Jesus, I knew him personally and began growing in my love for him. I was so grateful for the new joy and hope that I found in him. I loved to pray in my journal and learn the truths of the Bible. By his grace, I grew in my faith, and 6 months after receiving Christ, I met my husband, Luke. We both transferred to a small contemporary music school in St. Paul, and Luke sat next to me at orientation. I know, classic. So cliche. As we chatted, I found out that we both grew up in Eden Prairie, had some mutual friends, and that he was a Christian. Not to mention, I thought he had the absolute sweetest smile. Still do. Am I embarrassing you? But Luke's faith was especially attractive to me. I wasn't looking for a boyfriend at the time, but God's timing was perfect. As I grew and shared Christ with others, my faith was tested, and I faced many challenges. God called me out of the church I grew up in, which was very hard on my family and myself. And I'd also begun writing Christian music. And as a songwriting major, I had to share what my songs were about in front of my instructors and peers. This was pretty nerve-wracking as a young Christian, but God used these challenges to strengthen me. And he gave me Luke to provide a great source of encouragement during that season. Towards the end of my college career, I became an intern here at Westwood in the worship department. After doing that for a while, I was told that there would be a new worship leader position available. But not for another year. I really wanted the job, so I decided to wait while working a handful of part-time jobs and occasionally performing my original music. But even with all of that going on, somehow, I still had a lot of free time. So I decided to make good use of that time and learn a new skill. And that's where my story as a hand lettering artist began. In the fall of 2015, I was enamored with brush lettering videos that people were posting on Instagram. So I went to the craft store, bought a little sketch pad and my first brush pen, and I was instantly hooked. I started sharing my own hand-lettered quotes and Bible verses on Instagram, and pretty soon people started asking me to do custom work. I eventually did score a staff position on the worship team, and while I was doing that, my new hand-lettering passion was becoming quite the little side hustle. I even bought myself an iPad Pro and Apple Pencil so I could start hand-lettering digitally, which ended up being a very wise investment. After getting married to Luke in the fall of 2016, I decided to open an online shop. Since I was receiving a fair amount of custom orders without a shop or website, I was curious to see if anyone would buy my prints of hand-lettered art. It was slow going, like really slow going, for about a year. But then as I was working on a personal lettering project while studying the Book of Romans, I posted my progress on Instagram and received a lot of encouragement to create a devotional featuring my hand-lettered artwork. Not knowing the amount of challenges and work that would go into self-publishing, I listened to all the encouragement and decided to turn my personal Romans Bible study and hand lettering project, mouthful, into a devotional for others to enjoy. I set up a crowdfunding campaign to raise money, the money that I needed in order to get the books printed, and I was overwhelmed by the support I received. I was so surprised not only by the number of family and friends who showed their support, but by the number of strangers who were even backing my project. I could see that this was a turning point for me. And looking back, I can see that it was God who so graciously orchestrated all of it. Meanwhile, it was becoming challenging to juggle my hand lettering business with my job at Westwood. So I took a leap of faith and quit my job on staff in order to pursue hand lettering full time. Shortly after that, in the fall of 2017, I released my Romans devotional and experienced a huge shift in my business. God used that project and its success to open many doors and provide new opportunities. Over the course of a few years, he made it possible for me to self-publish 2 devotionals, a guided prayer journal, and to fill my shop with a variety of gift items featuring my artwork. I also had the privilege of making connections with other artists and companies through social media and custom work I was doing behind the scenes. By the spring of 2019, I experienced another turning point in my faith and lettering journey. I had the exciting opportunity to be a vendor at Pinner's Conference in Minneapolis. If you're unfamiliar with Pinner's, it's a nationwide expo for artists, crafters, and DIYers. Literally just picture Pinterest in person. In the past, I had seen many of the big name lettering artists post on Instagram about teaching classes and selling products there. It really seemed like the event to be at if you were well known in the lettering community. And I so badly wanted to be one of those people. So when a conference coordinator reached out to me, I was all in. Is there something weird going on with the lights?
I thought so.
That's okay.
It looks like it. Can you tell?
I barely can tell. I'm just noticing a few faces like, what's going on?
I don't really know
That's
what it
okay.
means.
It's just a party. Are we good to keep going?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so, I don't...
so anyway,
Wait,
if we can, get through the lights. It's okay. Okay, so anyway, I expected Pinner's to be a milestone in my career and anticipated lots of sales and exposure that would take my business to the next level. However, by the end of the first day, I was pretty discouraged. The conference wasn't living up to my expectations, and I seriously questioned if I made the right decision in going there. But God still brought good from it. At the end of the second and final day, I got to connect with one of the top Instagram lettering influencers. She shared a lot about her drive, ambition, and day-to-day life, and at some point in that conversation, I realized that's not the life I want. Yet, it was all I had been striving for over the past couple of years. I can't speak for this woman's motives, but God revealed to me that I was looking to the world for direction, affirmation, and validation, which is precisely what he says not to do in Scripture. As Diane had already mentioned earlier, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." I loved Jesus and creating biblically inspired products, but God opened my eyes to the selfish desires of my heart. I was relying almost entirely on my own understanding and following people I admired on Instagram. Instead of acknowledging him in all my ways, I was being led by the world and its ways. So after Pinner's Conference, I decided to recommit my creativity and business to the Lord. I chose to look to him for direction instead of what the world was telling me I needed to do in order to be successful and feel fulfilled. I made Proverbs 16:3 my motto, which says, "Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." I lettered it on a banner and hung it in my office as a reminder that I was now working for an audience of one. God used Pinner's Conference as a milestone, but not in the way that I initially expected. It was a spiritual milestone and turned out to be a much more valuable experience than I ever could have planned. And since then, God has been leading me to deeper surrender, not just in my art and business, but in all things. Instead of being led by the world, He's teaching me by the power of His Spirit to allow the truths of the Bible to guide my thoughts and actions. If we aren't careful, we all can be led by our own understanding. So I have to ask, how might you be looking to the world for wisdom instead of God and His Word? I encourage you to seriously ponder this question during your alone time with the Lord. Ask Him to reveal your blind spots. Spend quality time reading the Bible each day and pray regularly for wisdom and discernment. I found the more I surrender my life to the Lord, the more I get to witness His power at work in my life. By His grace, I've gotten to see some big prayers answered. And recently, I got to see His faithfulness on full display through the creation of my new book, The Bible in a Year, which was released this past November. I mentioned earlier that I self-published two books and the guided prayer journal. And after self-publishing the journal, a desire grew in me to work with a publisher in the future. I didn't know how I would get in touch with the right publisher or what the next book would even be about, but I simply prayed, "Lord, if this is your will, then make a way." Over a year later, I received an email from a publisher who heard about me through another company that I'd worked with in the past. They expressed interest in working on a book with me, but we didn't get started right away. In the meantime, while working on some smaller projects for them, I got to build a relationship and learned that many of their beliefs and motives aligned with my own. That was great confirmation that this was an answer to my prayers. When my publisher finally came to me with the idea for a one-year Bible reading plan and devotional, initially I was so excited, but I nearly chickened out. I became overwhelmed with the task before me. Was I really equipped for this? I thought I could quietly avoid starting it and just continue doing freelance work with them. But thankfully, my publisher was persistent, and at the perfect time, God gave me the final concept, a one-year Bible reading plan focusing on His character. So even though the final concept was much more manageable than our original plans, I knew I could not accomplish the task before me alone. In order to accurately interpret the Bible and communicate the truths about God's character, I needed to be completely dependent on Him each step of the way. So I started every day in His Word and prayer. I prayed for a filling of His Spirit, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and simply acknowledged my daily need for His help and guidance. Some of the most obvious answers to these prayers were experienced when I'd hear something in a sermon or podcast that corrected or clarified something I had been writing about earlier in the day. God's loving direction further affirmed that He was with me in this process, that He equips us for what He calls us to. And even after the book was written, I got to witness His faithfulness in prayer. Just weeks before my publisher had planned to release the book, the news was filled with headlines about the supply chain crisis and all the ships backed up at the ports. The shipment of my book sat there for 3 weeks, waiting to be unloaded. But I'd already seen God's hand over my book in so many ways. So I surrendered the release to His timing. Our God is bigger than any crisis. So I prayed for him to make a way, if it was his will, and asked many to pray along with me. By his grace, the shipment was delivered to the warehouse, and my book was released as planned. But even if God had chosen to delay the shipment, I trusted him, because all his ways are good, and his timing is always perfect. I'm so grateful for how God grew me in dependence on him through that experience. Jesus says in John 15:5 that he is the vine and we are the branches. If we abide in him, he abides in us, and we will bear fruit. Apart from him, we can do nothing. God increased my understanding of this reality while writing my book, but truthfully, it's hard to live in that kind of dependence on an average day-to-day basis. Can you relate? Are you living a life dependent on God? Do you recognize your daily need for him? It can be easy to wake up in the morning and think, I've got this, and start our days without turning to him. We can so easily be tempted to rely on our own strength. But how might God be leading you to grow in dependence on him? Remember, we must start with his word and prayer. Our trust in him deepens as we grow in knowledge and understanding and continually reflect on his character and promises. God has written unique stories for each one of us. And I thank you so much for taking the time to hear bits and pieces of the story God has written for me. As we close our time today and in the days ahead, I encourage you to do some reflecting of your own. How have you seen God at work in your unique story? I am eternally grateful that Jesus saved me the night I met my friends for ice cream. Looking back over the past 10 years since, I'm amazed by his sovereignty. He led me to hand lettering and used it to change the direction of my life in many ways. But the most valuable gift he has given me through hand lettering is the time I've spent meditating on scripture. As I write his word with pen and ink, or stylus and tablet, he is writing his word on my heart. The hours I've spent hand lettering Bible verses continue to ground me in truth and inspire me to engage in deeper study. His word is so powerful, and the more I've gotten to know him through scripture, the deeper I grow to love him. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are so good. You are the creator of our lives and the author of our unique stories. You are sovereign over all things and worthy of our complete surrender. You can be trusted. Thank you for this time together and for the opportunity to reflect on who you are and what you've done in my life. I pray it would bring to mind the many ways you've undoubtedly been working in the lives of these women here tonight. As we each look back on our unique stories, I pray you would give us a renewed appreciation for the gospel, that it would change us. Lord, I ask that you'd write your word on each of our hearts, so that we may be led by truth and not the lies of this world that lead us astray. Grow us up to be women who depend on you for all things, women who are fully surrendered to your will, trusting that your ways are higher and better than our own. Your will be done in and through the stories you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.